3, verse number 33 is where we're going to start reading, so like halfway or a little more than that into the chapter. Luke 23 and verse 33. All right, guys, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for Roundup Sunday, Lord. We thank you for what it stands for. And God, just all the work that people put in to get others here so that they can hear the gospel. Lord, I pray you would bless our class today, Lord. I thank you for the guys that are here and God, just some of the fun that we've had. But God, please help us to get focused in and locked down now to learn, Lord, to get something from your word. God, I pray that it would just hit right where it's needed. And God, that you would take us where you want us to be and develop us, Lord, into what you want us to be as young men. Lord, I pray you help the guys to listen, to pay attention. And please, Lord, give me the right words and thoughts and spirit to get this across how you want me to. Pray that, God, you would bless all the different classes and all the different places where your gospel, your good news is being shared with people right now. Help them to listen, and God, help them to respond to it appropriately, Lord. Please, God, make us more like you and help us to love you more when we leave today than we ever have, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. Guys, I was at home yesterday, and I was preparing for some stuff, and I was thinking about the subject or the topic of investment. What is an investment? What is an investment? We hear a lot about it. It's a very common word, but what is an investment? Fernando?
Is it like doing something to get something back that's better in the future?
Yeah, I would say that's a good start. Edwin, was that similar to what you had? Okay. Anybody else want to add something to it?
Something that takes your time or money that you put work into.
Right. Cool. Good work. Hey, Anthony.
Investment is something you put money into that has a chance to give you more money than before. Or sometimes it won't do it, but investment is mostly chance probably.
Good. Good work.
Thank you.
No problem, man. So, yeah, I would say you guys are right on track with that. This is not a real astute definition, but I threw it out there, all right? An investment, to put something out with the hope of a greater return. Okay, you put something out. Guys, it may be, in most cases we're talking about here, what are we thinking of? Money, right? You invest money into this particular company, into the stock market, and you're hoping to get more back from it. All right? So that's what we're thinking in common terms. But guys, can I tell you that's not the only place that it shows up? Let's keep our Bibles open, guys. Luke 23, I want you guys to be looking. Stay focused. I don't want you to get distracted, all right? An investment is you put something out with the hope of getting a greater return back. Guys, it's not just money, though, okay? It can be time. It can be effort. It can be you're putting your love, your instruction into somebody. And I was thinking about my own life, and I don't know why these thoughts just came to me, but, guys, there's been a lot of guys throughout the years that we've invested in. We've spent time with them. We've taught them. We've done things for them. We've taken them. Emerson knows about this. We've taken them on trips, man, halfway across the country to Kentucky. Some guys didn't even know Kentucky existed, all right? They're like, I've never seen so many white people before, all right? Why do they talk so funny? Why do they care so much about corn? I don't know, all right? But Listen, we've taken them all that way so that we can take them to these conferences, we can take them, hear this preaching, and we can get them in an environment so that we can invest in them. You have something, Fernando? Yeah, that's fine. We've taken them there so we can invest in their lives. We put time, we put effort, we put energy into them so that we can get a return back on that. And guys, what are we hoping for? We want them to live for the Lord. We want them to be serious about God, right? Hey, can I tell you, with some, nothing ever comes out of it. And what does it seem like? It seems like, man, that was a waste, right? Seems like you put your time and your effort into people and now they don't even care. Now they don't even show up half the time. Now they are doing something else. They're away from God. They're not doing what's right. And it can seem, guys, like nothing comes from it. Now, we know when we serve the Lord, guys, nothing's in vain that we do for God. Even if people don't turn out, it's not something that we want. It breaks our heart if people don't turn out, but it's not in vain to the Lord. Listen, whatever you do for God, it counts. It's valuable. It's important. It always will last when you're doing it for the Lord. And you know, ultimately, guys, everybody needs to listen. Some of you guys' eyes are wandering. Pay attention, all right? I want you to learn from the Bible today. Guys, it doesn't even matter. We want people to make it. We want people to grab a hold of this stuff and do something with it. But Edwin, even if they don't, listen, we don't want that. But ultimately, we're doing it for the Lord. We're not doing it for people. Listen, if nobody came today to Roundup, obviously that didn't happen, thankfully. But if nobody came, if we're doing it for the Lord, that'll mean something. That'll be rewarded. That'll count for eternity. Even if, say, people say, I don't care about that, and it doesn't do any make any effect on them. Hey, guys, let me ask you this. Spiritually, what do you think the greatest investment there ever was is? What do you think the greatest investment there ever was? Danny, you thought something, maybe? You got it? No? Jesus died on the cross. Guys, when I started thinking about that, and Emerson, the first reaction is like, you kind of start feeling like, man, you got nothing out of that, right? Nothing came of it. And you kind of feel like that was a waste. Can I tell you something, guys? Jesus died. Who did Jesus die for? Us? Just the ones in this room?
No, everyone.
Everybody. How many people in the world love the Lord? You can say, we hope it's like half, but it's probably not that much, right? Guys, how many people in the world hate God? Seems like a lot, right? Seems like a lot. Hey, guys, can I tell you that didn't stop the Lord from doing what he did? Emerson, he could have been on that cross and said, there's be plenty of people that I'll do all this for. I'll invest my life, give everything, shed all my blood so that they can go to heaven. And they won't even care about me. They'll curse my name. They won't believe in me. They won't want to do what I say. They'll say, this is my life. I can do what I want. Okay? There's plenty of people in this world that'll be like that. Hey, guys, I want you to pay attention and I'll move you. All right? This is not time to play around. It's time for you to listen. I'm not mad at anybody. But I don't want you coming in here wasting your time because you're thinking about something stupid. Okay? Cool? All right. I'm not mad. No.
All right.
I'm not mad. No. Listen. Jesus gave the greatest investment, guys. He gave his own life. It didn't stop him, even if it doesn't come to fruition in that person's life. What Jesus did was not a waste. But can I tell you, it can be wasted in your life. What Jesus did is not a waste. It's valuable. It's the most precious thing that ever was, that he gave his life, shed his blood. But it can be wasted in your life because you have a part of this thing too. Listen, guys, he was betrayed by his own follower, Judas Iscariot. He was lied on at these mock trials. The greatest miscarriage of justice was dealt with and directed towards Jesus Christ. Guys, they had no real charge against him. They had no evidence. They had nothing to convict him. But yet, they still found him guilty. In fact, when he shows up they say, we want him to die. What did he do? They're basically saying, you know what he did. They didn't even have a charge. If he wasn't a bad guy, if he wasn't a criminal, do you really think we'd bring him here? Why don't you just tell us what the charge is? But they didn't have one. Guys, the Bible talks about he was so marred. Listen, so marred more than any man in his form, more than the sons of men. Listen, you know what that means? His face was so disfigured, so messed up. Guys, he was so beaten and pounded upon and tortured and punished over and over and over and over again. Guys, his face, his visage, didn't even look like a human being anymore. His body was so beaten, so brutalized, so messed up. He didn't even look like a human being anymore. If you would look at the body of Jesus that day when he was crucified, you wouldn't have said, who is that? You would say, what is that? Looked like a piece of meat. It didn't look like a man. But guys, he was doing that for you. He was betrayed. He was lied on. The greatest injustice was thrown on him. He was marred. And guys, it was gruesome. It was gory. And he was mocked. Do you know when he was on the cross, guys? Listen, you know why they put the crown of thorns on him? To make a joke of him. They put the crown of thorns on him, Fernando, so they say, oh yeah, you say you're a king, here's your crown. And these long thorns that they shoved into the scalp, into the head of Jesus Christ. Guys, he did that for you. He did that for me. They put that royal robe on him. His back was already in tatters. It was shredded by the whipping and the beating that he had already taken before he went to the cross. But they put this robe on him, this royal robe, and then they rip it off. After that blood had begun to dry against his back and that material was stuck to his back, now they rip it off. Guys, he did that for you. He did that for me. They mocked him visually with all these things. They put a reed in his hand saying, you're a king. You got your crown. You got your scepter. You got your robe. Command us what to do, your majesty. They're making a joke of him. Guys, he's all powerful. He's God. He created them. He's the only one responsible for them being alive, being breathing at that very moment. But yet they're making a joke of him, a laughingstock of him. And guys, not only that, not only did they mock him visually with these things, but guys, they also are mocking him verbally with what they say. You see Luke 23, verse number 35. It says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. You know what they're saying, guys? Oh, you call yourself a savior? Well, why don't you save yourself? Why don't you get down? And then at the end of the verse, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 37, saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. They're saying, you have all this power. You have all this authority. You're the one in charge. Why don't you get off? Guys, why didn't he? Because of us. Because of us. Because of you. Hey, guys. We look at all this stuff that Jesus went through and we think, why? Why would he be allow himself to be betrayed like that? Why would he be lied on? Why would he let that injustice happen? And all this marring of his physical body. And all this mocking and all this fun that people poked at him. Why would he go through that? Hey guys, there was a great purpose behind what he did. There was a great reason behind what he did. I was reading about this last night. Paul talked about it in his own life. The great apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians in the Bible. He said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. All of God's investment in me. All of his care for me. All of his help in my life. He's saying, that's why I am what I am. Whatever good I've done, it's the grace of God that's done it. For me. But you know what he says? But his grace was not in vain. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, I labored more abundantly than them all. You know what he's saying, Emerson? He's saying, God did this for me and gave me this chance. And you know what he's saying, guys? It's not going to be wasted on me. You hear that? It's not going to be wasted on me. He's saying, when Jesus died on the cross, I'm not going to let that be wasted in my own life. When Jesus did all this for me, it's not going to be wasted in my own life. How you doing, man? Welcome. We got a couple chairs up here if you want, or you can just pull one of those out in the back. Glad to have you. Let me get you a Bible. Nathan, can you find it for him? Take care of that. Thank you. Good to have you, man. But he's saying, guys, I did this, and God gave me this, and it was not in vain. You know what in vain is? It means empty, worthless. He's saying, when God did these things for me, I wasn't going to let it be in vain. I wasn't going to let it be wasted on me. Hey, guys, here's what I want to preach about, and I'll get rolling real fast with this. But, guys, I want you to listen today. Please listen. I won't be long, but I want you to grab a hold of this, and I want you to personalize it for your own life. Guys, here's the thought today, and here's the message. He didn't die for nothing. He did not die for nothing. You say, that doesn't sound too grammatically correct. I really don't care. Really don't care today. He didn't die for nothing, guys. Listen, he did this for a great reason. There was a purpose behind his passion. There was a reason behind all that he went through and all that he suffered. Listen, it was for you. So what does God want? Listen, why did Jesus do all that? Why did he allow them to put Nails through his hands, nails through his feet, the crown of thorns, whip his back to pieces, to shreds. Why did he allow all that? He didn't die for nothing. First point. Why did he die? He died for your salvation. That's why. Guys, he didn't go through all that just so we could feel bad for him. Just so we can feel a little pity in our hearts. Like, man, that's terrible that happened to him. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorrow in my heart and a little sympathy and think, so bad. I'm going to shed a tear because I feel so bad for what Jesus went through. Guys, can I tell you that's not what he went through? That's not why he went through it. He didn't die for nothing. He died so that for your salvation. Guys, the most famous verse in the Bible is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I just summarize that verse for you? Jesus did all that he did so that you won't go to hell, but you can go to heaven. That's the whole point of it. That's what it's all about. Guys, he didn't just get up there for nothing. He didn't just get up there because of those cruel soldiers. He didn't just get up there because people hated him. People didn't like him. And he offended some people with what he said. No. He did it for your salvation. Guys, he did all that so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. It's that big of a deal. Let me ask you. Have you accepted Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know for sure that whenever you die, listen, we think we'll live a long time. Everybody in the room, I'm sure we have the mindset, no, Brother Tom, I'm going to live till I'm 80 or 90 or 100. I have a lot of years in front of me. What guarantee do you have that that'll happen? None of us have any guarantee. The Bible talks about, you know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what will happen today, later today, or even what will happen tomorrow. Hey guys, do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? He died for your salvation. He didn't die for nothing, guys. He died for your salvation. The Bible talks about he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Welcome in, George. Good to have you. You too, bye. There you go. Listen, he died so that you would be saved. Guys, that's what it's all about. All this stuff that we read, all the mocking, all the people spitting on him and ridiculing him and all the stuff that he went through, the beating and the torture and the blood and the guts. Why did he do it? For your salvation. Guys, he didn't die for nothing. He died for you so that you would go to heaven when you die. Man, have you taken care of that? Have you solidified that in your life? The Bible talks about in Psalm 116. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord? It means, what can I give back? You know the first thing out of David's mouth? I will take the cup of salvation. You know what he's saying? Emerson, if I want to give back something to God for all that he's done for me, the first thing I need to do is get saved. Get saved and take care of it and get that settled in my life. Guys, there was a reason for his suffering. We've talked about it, but every drop of blood, every jolt of pain that went through the physical body of Jesus Christ, it was for you to pay for your sins so that you wouldn't have to suffer the torment of an eternal hell. That's why he did it. There was a reason for his suffering. And guys, that should mean enough to you to repent of your sins and my sins. Listen, that should mean enough to you. Listen, I hear sometimes, and Wes, they're pretty lame excuses. And we say, hey man, you need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ today. And they say, no, I want to go do some sins first. I got some stuff I want to do. I want to have some fun first. Hey guys, let me tell you, there's no party worth going to hell over. There's no girl worth going to hell over. There's no friends having their acceptance worth going to hell over. There's no bad music worth listening to worth going to hell over. Can I tell you, it ought to mean enough to you that what Jesus did, and you should say in your life, man, it's worth it for me to say no to those things, to turn my back on those things, to repent of those things. It should be. He died for you to be saved. He died for your salvation. There was a reason for his suffering. There, you should repent of your sins. And guys, can I tell you, you need to resist slackness. If you still have your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians. But farther back in the New Testament, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Resist slackness. Listen, resist slackness. What I mean by that is don't wait. Don't sit back and ponder it and think, oh, let me think about this. Let me wait for a convenient time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read that in just a minute. It's verse number 2 I'm going to get to. But guys, while I was saying that, this thought hit my mind. There was a king in the Bible named Felix. Paul, that guy we were talking about a few moments ago, he was preaching to him about the gospel. He was telling him how he could go to heaven. It says, after, this is Acts 24, you don't have to turn there though. After certain days when Felix came with his wife, it says he heard him concerning the faith of Christ. So he's witnessing to him. Verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Get this, guys. Get this. Felix trembled. He trembled. Guys, it's affecting him. He's scared. He's worried. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time." Notice, when I shall have convenient season, I'll call thee. You know what he's saying, Alvaro? Man, that thing's getting to me. I know I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve to go to hell. I don't want to go there. I'm worried. He's physically shaking, guys, trembling. But you know what he said? Not now. I'm not quite ready. Maybe there's some things I want to do first. Maybe there's some things that God wouldn't be so pleased with that I want to play around with. Guys, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Guys, you know what it's saying? Don't wait. Don't wait. If Jesus is pressing your heart today, if you hear the gospel and say, man, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Jesus paid the price for me. I need to do that, guys. Don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't say, when I feel it a little bit more on the inside, then I'll get saved. Don't wait. Don't chill. Don't set back. Don't ponder it and consider it and put it off. Don't allow that conviction to dissipate. You know what the Holy Spirit's doing? He's drawing you to himself. He's trying to pull you in. But you can say no to him. That's your choice. Hey guys, it's now that you need to get saved. The Bible talks about, in this verse, he says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Guys, can I tell you when the right time for you to get saved is? Today. When is the right time for me to get saved, Brother Tom? Now. Get saved today. Guys, don't walk out of that door without knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. Don't leave that church building, that main auditorium, without knowing for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You can play on all the games, have all the fun, and do all the things that we're going to do today. But if you're not saved, you walk off this property, man, you miss the whole thing. Don't miss it, guys. Don't miss it. There was an ultimate price that Jesus paid for you. He didn't die on that cross for you to sit there and think about it and say, one of these days I might just do that. No, he didn't do that. He died so that you would get saved now. Don't put it off. Don't say, I want to do some more important things. This is the most important thing. He paid that ultimate price. Greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life. That's what Jesus did for us. And it was our utmost priority. Guys, that was our greatest need. Hey guys, a person that's on their way to hell, you can give them $1 billion. That ain't going to change their destination. A person that's on their way to hell, you can give them a big house. That's not going to change where they go when they die. Listen, it's nice to have those material blessings, but can I tell you, those things are not important. The most important thing is that you know for sure in your heart that one day when you die, you're going to be with Christ in heaven. Do you know that? It was our utmost priority, and it has to be through Jesus. There is no other way. There's no sidestep in this issue. By the way, guys, can I tell you this? If you say, I'm not going to decide today, you know what you're telling God? No. No. Not today. And I hope not. But if you keep saying not today, not today, not today, there will come a point in your life where you won't have another day. You won't have a tomorrow to look forward to. That's a scary proposition. Guys, hell is a place of unfathomable pain. It's unending permanence. You're there forever. And guys, there's urgency that needs to be pressing. Listen, guys, I keep saying this and keep pounding on this. But if you're not saved, please, we didn't pick you up today for you to come, sit on your chair and think, yeah, that's interesting. Hey, it needs to be more than interesting. It needs to be so important that you decide to do it today. Get it taken care of. Get it taken care of. Listen, guys, listen. Some of us, and I'm not against this to a certain extent, but some of us, if there's a certain shoe or new game that we want, you got some people stand in line for hours all night so that they can get it. Emerson, they're not saying, oh, I'll get it later. I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it next week. They're saying, no, I want it now. And I it means so much to me that I'll stand hours in line with a bunch of random people out here in a parking lot. Because this means so much to me. We'll make that big of a deal of it. But when Jesus offers you eternity in heaven and escaping hell, we say, tomorrow. Whoo, buddy, something wrong with that. Something bad wrong with that. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you to be saved. Guys, point number two, you're in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 5. After you get saved, he didn't die not just for you to get saved. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you to get saved. And number two, to surrender. To surrender. Verse number 15 of chapter 5. I hope everybody's there looking at it. It says, and that he died for all. Like we talked about, Jesus died for everybody. That they which live should not henceforth, what does it say? Live unto themselves. Surrender. Guys, listen. After you got saved, it's not time for you to be selfish. Not time for you to worry about making money. It's not time for you to worry about the stuff that you accumulate. God will take care of you. But you know what? It's time for us to surrender our will. You know what that means? God, you're in control, not me. You call the shots, not me. You decide where to go and I'll follow. Guys, we need more Christians to do that. If you've been saved, great. Praise God. Most important thing you could ever do. But have you surrendered your life? Listen, Jesus doesn't want you just to go to heaven. He wants you to surrender your life now here on earth. A living sacrifice. I think we were kidding about that earlier. But you know what? A living sacrifice means every single day I wake up and say, God, you're in control. Not me. I lay myself on the altar. God, you're in control. Tell me what to do. It's not my will, but thine be done. Lay down your will. Jesus said that in the cross. Not my will, but thine be done. Do what the Lord wants. Seek him first, and he'll take care of you. He'll add all these things unto you. And his leading is way better, guys. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The Bible says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Hey, guys, he didn't die for nothing. My Savior accomplished a great purpose when he was down on that cross. First of all, it's for you to be saved. Second of all, after you get saved, it's for you to surrender your life. Guys, when we preach on a certain type of music you shouldn't listen to, don't get all resistant and bowed up and say, I don't like that. If it comes from God, not me, I'm not important. But if it comes from God, you should say, if Jesus said it, all right, Lord, you're in control, not me. Who's in control of the music you listen to? Who's in control of the words that come out of your mouth? Who's in control of the words that, of the thoughts that go through your mind? It should be the Lord, not us. You say that's hard. Yeah, but it's worth it, guys. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you to be saved. He died for you to be surrendered. Point number three, he died for you to serve. The Bible says after that verse about greater love hath no man than this, than that Jesus laid down his life for us. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Do you serve the Lord? If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Hey guys, can I tell you a lot of Christians approach after they get saved? They don't do that surrender like we talked about. They say, it's my will, Lord, not yours be done. People need to be saved. I don't care about that. I need to make my money. People all around the world are going to hell. Not important. I need to take care of my convenience. I need to get all the stuff that I want. And guys, we just said, if you put Jesus first, he'll take care of you. He's not wanting you to be poor and decrepit on the street. But guys, he wants you to serve him. Guys, a lot of people say, Wes, they want all the blessings of Christianity without taking on any of the burdens of it. Hey guys, they want the blessings of a Christian home, but they don't want to take a stand against the world anymore. Guys, can I tell you, you can't have both. Can't have both. Guys, you can't listen to the worldly music and have a clean mind. You can't click on disgusting pictures, inappropriate, illicit stuff, and then have a good marriage one day. You can't have both. You can't be a pervert as a teenager and then be a clean man when you're 24 or 25. You can't have both. You got to start working at it now. You got to make that decision now. You say it's hard. Yeah, I know it's hard. Can I tell you, our pastor said this a while ago. It takes no guts, no courage to do wrong. Alvaro, it takes courage to do right. It takes courage to stand up against the tide and do right. And that's what we want you guys to have. Listen, Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for your salvation. He died for you to surrender to him. He died for you to serve him. Man, a lot of people, they want the blessings, won't take on any of the work, and they've taken on the ministry of criticism. Wes, they don't want to do anything themselves. They'll never get on the bus route with those dirty kids, those smelly kids. They'll never do anything around here, but they'll criticize everyone that is. Well, I tell you, Nathan, if I ever had a bus route, which I won't, but if I ever did, I wouldn't run it like that guy. That guy's nuts. Well, you know, at least he's doing something, right? Well, if I ever gave out a track, I would approach it totally differently. Well,
why don't you do it?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm pretty busy.
No, you're making excuses. But we want to criticize everyone that does. Listen, guys, don't take that leisure approach. Get in there. Let's get with it. You're in chapter 5, verse 14. It says the love of Christ constrains us. That means it pushes us. Guys, this should push you. What Jesus did, it should push you to say, Lord, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Verse number 9, same chapter. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. God, I want to labor. I want to give you my best. I want to work for you. Again, guys, this doesn't get you to heaven. Only what Jesus did on the cross will get you to heaven. He did all the work. You just have to accept it. It's a gift. He paid for it. All you have to do is accept or reject. But we're talking about after you get saved, surrender yourself. Not my will, Lord. I'm laying down what I want. I'm turning my back on my desires. Lord, what do you want? And then get serving him. Hey, guys, you know what? There's people in your neighborhood you can reach. You okay, Christian? You're tired, brother? Listen, there's people in your neighborhood you can reach. There's people even in your family. If you would take seriously, guys, it would make an impact. Please listen to this. Listen, let's get with it. Hey, guys, it should mean enough to you, verse 17, that it should make a visible change. It says, behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. It should make a visible change. People should be able to see a difference in you. You should start contributing. In verse 15 that we read before, it says you shouldn't live henceforth unto yourselves, but unto him, unto Jesus, which died for them and rose again. Guys, you should start living for him now. Guys, what have you done this week to live for the Lord? Hey, man, we live for ourselves all the time. How about we say, Lord, what can I change out of my life and say, all right, I don't need to watch that much TV. I don't need to do that. But what can I do for the Lord? Who can I invite? Who can I pray for? What can I read out of his word? Make contributions. Guys, there needs to be vibrant concern. Hey, can I tell you, God's given you the ministry of soul winning. Verse 18, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know what that means? Once you got saved, if there's ever been a time you bowed your heads, Lord, forgive me, take me to heaven when I die. And you meant that. You know what? Now you have the job of telling other people that. You say, whoa, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader in the church. Hey, if you're a Christian, you have the job of telling other people about Christ. So that means pack them tracts away in your pocket and give them to people. Tell people about the Lord. You say, I'm not good at it. Neither am I. But let's try. Let's try to tell people. It's what it's all about. You have that ministry now. And guys, he wants you to represent him. In verse number 20, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. You represent the Lord. How well do you represent him? Last thing. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you to be saved. He died for you to surrender. He died for you to serve him. And point number 4, he died for you to sustain it. Guys, he didn't die on the cross just for you to be saved, do it for a little while and then quit and give in and throw in the towel. Guys, stick with it, stay at it, stay in there. Guys, this is good enough to take it all the way. Listen, if my car is running good, I keep driving it. I don't say, I don't need this thing anymore. It doesn't make any sense. If it's working well, I'll just keep using it. Guys, this Christian life is great. It's the best thing there is. It shouldn't get to a point where you say, I don't need this anymore. It's the best thing there is. There's nothing wrong with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's the greatest person. Listen, in the Christian life, you get to know the greatest person in the world, Jesus Christ, who died for you, who's perfect, who has all wisdom, all knowledge, all power. He's everywhere present at the same time. He'll never change. Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? There's nobody like you. There's a purpose, guys. You get to be involved in the work of God and glorifying God. There's the greatest power. You say, Brother Tom, my life is hard. Can I tell you, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. He can give you the power you need. You have available to you the greatest power. And guys, last thing, he's taken you to the greatest place. And that place is heaven. Guys, for every child of God, there's a mansion with their name on it in heaven waiting for you. In heaven, there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more difficulty. Guys, all that stuff will be done away. Listen, there's some nice places in the world that I like to visit if I get the chance. I mean, Emerson, it's cool to see some of those sites of these huge, majestic mountains or a nice, you're like, are they over there? No, it's not over there. Listen, or a waterfall or some beach with a beautiful sunset. And you think, man, that is awesome. Can I tell you, all of those places, they may be beautiful, but there's still sorrow and there's still crying and there's still death there and there's still difficulty there. Can I tell you, the only place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death is heaven. Hey, guys, if you're not for sure that you're going there, make that settled today, now. And if you are sure that you're going to heaven, get surrendered. Get serving the Lord and sustain it. Guys, don't get to a certain point and say, I'm done. No, man, keep pushing, keep going. Hey, guys, You need to say like Paul, it won't be wasted on me. He didn't die for nothing. Hey, he died to save me. He died for me to surrender, to serve him, and to sustain him. Hey, guys, that can be you. That can be you. He didn't die for nothing. He had a great purpose for what he did. Why don't you allow that purpose to come to fruition in your life? Let's bow our head and close our